I feel a little bit overdressed this morning, but that's my job. Even though that we call this season ordinary time following the Sundays of Pentecost, this is a very special day in the life of our congregation, as Noah and Catherine and Mia and Gillen confirm the faith in which they were baptized right here at this baptismal fount. But this is not a graduation. I think some of the things I share with you today echo what Cindy shared in the children's message today. Yes, we can say that you have come a long way through Sunday school and all the other things that you have done in the church during your years, attending a dozen confirmation classes, going on a weekend confirmation retreat, assisting in worship, washing cars and holding a bake sale to raise money, and writing a personal I believe statement, which, by the way, those statements are posted on the bulletin board in the hallway. But this confirmation of your faith is not really a graduation. It's more like a beginning of something rather than celebrating something that you've achieved or completely accomplished. It's a continuing journey of learning that began with your baptism here, and it is as much about realizing how much you don't know about God because of God's amazing greatness and mystery, and the world that God has made, and why God put you here on earth. It's as much about that mystery as what you have already learned about God and life. Today's Bible reading gives us a sense that we don't know it all. There's much more to be learned and discovered when it comes to the Christian life, and that's okay. So this is not really a graduation as such in the church, because we don't have graduations, but we accompany people on their journey through the Christian life, from baptism, from the beginning to the very end. Now Jesus, when he was with his disciples, taught them many things. The word disciple means learner. But when it came time for Jesus to leave this earth to return to the Father in heaven, he didn't give his disciples a degree or a certificate of accomplishment. He told them, there's still so much for you to learn, and that's okay because I will ask the Father in heaven to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will continue to teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Sometimes we might think that once we finish eighth grade or graduate from high school or get our college degree, we pretty much have it made. We know everything we need to know. Well, I've known some young people in their teens who think they are already smarter than their parents. And right, some respects, I guess that's true. Whenever my wife and I visit our grandchildren, we ask them to teach us about our cell phones and our computers and other gadgets. And sometimes we grown-ups, too, get this attitude that we know it all, that there's nothing for us new to learn, that we don't have to change our minds about anything. But that's wrong. A long time ago, there lived a man named Socrates. He was a teacher and an orator. He said so many cool things that people thought him to be the very wisest and smartest person in all the world. But Socrates said that the one thing that he did know was that he knew nothing. Now, what Socrates meant was that he was smart enough to know that he did not know everything. Socrates knew that there would always be something new to learn. 2 weeks ago on Trinity Sunday, I spoke about lifelong learning in the Christian life. It was Holy Trinity Sunday, and when we celebrate the great mystery of God and God's amazing love for us, even though we are little human beings. God is so big that we have three names for God: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are reminded that none of us can ever know all there is to know about God. God is awesome. God is a mystery. Sometimes we grown-ups act like we know that we know all there is to know, but we don't, especially about God. There's always times in our life when God gives us something more to learn, and we're reminded that we are all children of God, no matter what our age. The Bible tells us that living in awe of God is the beginning of wisdom. To have questions. Knowing that we don't know it all is part of our faith. Continuing to learn is an important one, an important aspect of life. Whether we're 12 years old or 21 or 40 or 78, there will always be more to learn. I read about a student who one day walked into a Christian Orthodox church. Now, you might recognize an Orthodox church from the outside, but by its onion-shaped gold dome at the top. Well, this student walked into the worship area inside the church, which was lavishly decorated with gold and other rich colors. He found himself surrounded by fascinating icons and images of the face of Jesus and other saints. He saw an array of religious symbols, but really didn't understand their meaning. There were many lighted candles, and the smoke of incense was rather overpowering. The liturgy and the music was mystifying. He felt totally confused and overwhelmed. But when he came out of the service, his reaction was, "Wow, that was great. I didn't understand a thing, but I want to know more." We don't have to understand everything. Sometimes we just need to be surprised and amazed by God. And maybe loving God begins with this delight of realizing that we exist, that we're alive. Who is this God who put us here? Knowing God begins with gratitude for all the wonderful things that God has done. To know that God loved us so much that he was willing to send his Son to die for us. And to know that God is always near to us. God is here, as we sang in our opening hymn. There are some things about God that we will never learn in Sunday school or confirmation or from a sermon. But we come to those places in our lives when we have to choose a vocation, or when we have a child, or when we face a tragedy, or when we just pause in life to count our blessings. And we will feel the presence of God in our lives. Thank God we don't have to pass an SAT or some other comprehensive exam to become a Christian or a member of the church. We learn as we go along in life. It's a little different from other things that we learn in school. If you want to become a lawyer, there's a lot of things you have to learn about the law. You have to pass a bar exam before you're allowed to go into a courtroom and argue a case before a judge. Or if you want to become a medical doctor, you have to pass an MCAT exam and complete medical school, then go through some internships before you're allowed to do brain surgery. But that's not exactly the way the Christian life works. We learn as we go along. Jesus said, "The Spirit of truth will continue to teach you and guide you into all truth." For example, it wasn't too long ago that the church in the United States came to the truth that slavery should no longer be accepted, despite its centuries-long practice that was based on some biblical scriptures. that seemed to suggest that slavery was okay. But then the Holy Spirit guided the church into a new truth. Or it wasn't very long ago that the church came to realize that it was okay for women to be in church leadership and to be ministers alongside of men. And now we're struggling with the issue of whether people of different sexual orientations are qualified to serve the church in leadership. So as the world changes, so our practice of the Christian faith has to change to meet these new realities and new challenges in the modern world. We don't know everything. There's so much more. And I think that truly great leaders in the church or in the world have a sense of humility by admitting that they don't know everything. They aren't self-made. Things don't come to them only by their own effort and hard work. They realize that life is a gift of God that we receive. I also believe that the worst leaders are those who have an attitude that they're destined to be great, or that everything they've accomplished, they've earned on their own hard work and effort. But life is a gift. It's not clear from the Gospels that Jesus aspired to be a great leader. He could have been a carpenter like his earthly father. And for all we know, that's what he wanted to do. Instead of trying to become great, he attended to people who were hungry and sick, who were labeled as sinners or outcasts. Along the way, he called some to follow him in his work. They were often slow to understand what he was about. In the end, he realized that the Father in heaven had sent him to be the Messiah, but not the kind of Messiah that people expected, a mighty leader, a great powerful and authoritarian king, but one who would be willing in love to give his life for others. Even though we are flawed human beings that we don't know at all, yet God seems to have faith in us to do his work and show his love. There is an apocryphal story told about Jesus when he returned to the Father in heaven. He was greeted by the angels and the archangels, Gabriel and Michael. They were all giving him hugs and pats on the back, and they wanted to hear all about the things on earth and what he was able to accomplish, and who would be able to continue his work on earth. And Jesus said, "I have entrusted my mission and the mission of our heavenly kingdom to my followers on earth, my disciples." Well, the angels gasped and said, "You did what? You entrusted your entire mission to mere mortals? What if they fail? What is your backup plan?" And Jesus said, "I have no other plan." You see, our Lord has confidence in us, even though we're human, even though we have so much more to learn. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we continue to be guided into truth. Noah, Catherine, me, and Gillen, now you have decided to use the gifts and talents that God has given you to do the work of God, even though there's so much more to learn. But that's okay. You don't have to know it all to be about God's work. In fact, it's better for you to know that there is so much more and that you're not on your own. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.